Genesis 38, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, and it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah's friend, Hira, is going to be trouble. He's not going to be a good influence. Judah probably should have stayed at home by his father, for at least his father was a decent human being. Verse 2. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. So Judah marries a Canaanite, which was sin, and is not going to be good. He should have known the will of God on this, and I'm sure he did, and yet he disregarded it. Verse 3, and she conceived and bore a son, and called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezib when she bore him. I don't know why, to be honest with you, Judah left home. Maybe he couldn't take his father's ongoing grief over the loss of Joseph, especially since he played such a part in producing that grief. Maybe he just had to get away. Maybe the guilt was killing him. But so he's got three sons from a Canaanite woman, and this is not going to have the blessing of God, as we will see. 6, and Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Verse 7, and Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. We don't know how God killed him. We aren't sure what he did to deserve it. But whatever it was bad enough for God to execute him on the spot. You know, all of our sins are bad enough for God to execute us on the spot. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's just that most of the time he shows mercy and gives us a grace period to repent. He doesn't have to, but he does. 8, and Judah said unto Onan, go in unto your brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to your brother. And this was known as the law of the kinsman redeemer and will become a part of the Mosaic law in the book of Exodus. 9. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. He did wrong, and he will also pay. Notice verse 10. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he killed him also. God is telling the patriarchs, he's sending the message that he hates sin and that he's going to judge it. Remember, the Bible says that the things written in the Old Testament were written for our example and our learning. And so learn this. God despises sin and he will punish if one doesn't repent, which these two sons of Judah evidently did not do. So they're dead. Leaves Judah with one son remaining. Verse 11, then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at your father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Judah has one son left, and he's not in a real hurry to give him to Tamar for obvious reasons. 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. Sheep shearing time was normally party time in those days. Judah is over the loss of his wife, and so he figures on having himself a real good time. 13. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, your father-in-law goes up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And that's going to get the gears in Tamar's brain turning. She knows what goes on at sheep shearing time, and she's going to try to use it to her advantage. So look at 14. She put her widow's garments off from her, covered her face with a veil, wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. She figured out that Judah would never give his third son, Shelah, to her. So out of desperation, she dresses up like a harlot in order to trap her father-in-law. 15. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered her face. He had no idea that this was his daughter-in-law, of course. 16. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray you, let me come in unto you. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what will you give me that you may come in unto me? And of course, the fact that she was his daughter-in-law would be a non-issue if he wasn't bent on committing this sin in the first place. What I'm saying is that we can avoid traps if we control our lusts and say no to temptation. No sinful trap will work if we walk with the Lord. The Bible says, no weapon forged against you will prosper. 17. And he said, I will send you a kid from the flock, which would be a baby lamb. And she said, will you give me a pledge till you send it? Something that she could hold on to, something personal of his, until she received full payment that she wants. So he's willing to pay a young lamb for her services. But since he didn't have it with him, she asked him to give her something of value that she can keep until he pays up. In verse 18, he said, what pledge shall I give you? And she said, your signet and your bracelets and your staff that is in your hand. And he gave it to her and came in unto her. And she conceived by him. What a fool Judah was, because he just gave this woman what would probably be the equivalent of his credit card number, social security number, and his personal ID. You know, when lust takes hold of a person, they give very little consideration of what satisfying that lust could cost them. 19. And she arose and went away, and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. She heads back home, and so does Judah eventually. 20. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Judah sends his buddy to pay the woman, but she is nowhere to be found. 21. Then he asks the men of that place, saying, "Where is the harlot who was openly by the wayside?" And they said, "There was no harlot in this place." "I don't know what you're talking about. There aren't any prostitutes around here." And you know what? They were right. The only one acting like a prostitute in recent days was Judah's daughter-in-law. Verse 22. And he returned to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. Well, that would be strange. It would be strange that a harlot wouldn't stick around long enough to get paid, especially since she had Judah's personal items and therefore was guaranteed payment. But Judah doesn't seem to be too worried, at least not yet. 23, Judah said, "Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and you have not found her. I tried to pay." And, you know, I don't want it to get out that I visited a prostitute, so let's just forget about the whole matter and hopefully it'll all blow over. 24. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom." Well, he probably thought after 3 months and nothing happened, he got away with it. It passed, and he was okay. And Tamar shows up pregnant now. Here's Judah's response. Judah said, "Bring her forth and let her be burned." Well, he was quick to condemn her, wasn't he? Judas is a self-righteous hypocrite. He's indignant because he's told that his daughter-in-law played the harlot. He's furious, morally outraged. Meanwhile, he overlooks the fact that he visited what he thought was a harlot. But he hasn't been caught yet, you see. So he is now acting like a defender of morals. 25. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "By the man whose these are, I am with child." And she said, "Discern, I pray you, whose are these, the signet, and bracelets, and staff." She didn't accuse Judah. She didn't say, "You're the father." She just presented the evidence in public. She won't have to accuse him because he is caught with a smoking gun and everybody knows it too. 26. And Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son." And he knew her again no more. And I'll give Judah credit. For one thing, he didn't deny the sin he committed. You say, yeah, but he didn't confess it until he was caught and exposed, yeah? And who do you think catches you and I when we commit a sin and exposes our sins to us? Who do you think does that? It's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he uses other people. Sometimes he just does it directly to us. And that's why we confess. So I'm not going to act like I'm morally superior to Judah. And you shouldn't either. You know, Judah could have accused her of some sort of elaborate fraud to make it appear as if he had been unrighteous when really he wasn't, but he owned up to his sin. You know what? Not everybody does that. Adam and Eve didn't do that. God approached them regarding their sin. And what did they do? Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. A lot of times when people are confronted over sin, they blame somebody else or they blame society or whatever. Not everybody comes clean and confesses. 27, and it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, "This came out first." And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, "How have you broken forth? This breach be upon you." Therefore his name was called Perez. And this one, Perez, was in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And it's because he's the firstborn. 30. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. And I think it's neat that Perez is in the Messianic line. I mean, the son of a relationship with Judah and his daughter-in-law. Not that God approved of that. He didn't. But it does go to show that if God didn't use sinners to accomplish his will in this world, then he wouldn't have anyone to use, would he? Because that's all we are.